Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name is Brian, and I'm a fellow small church pastor in the trenches with all of you wonderful, amazing, exceptional people. And I am joined by none other than the people that join me every time we do one of these podcast episodes, Colby and Joey, the pastors of disasters. What is up, guys?
That describes us pretty good. My life is dope, and I do dope things.
And I am blessed, and for 2 weeks in a row, I feel personally attacked with the topics that we're talking about. I feel you coming after me personally in this thing.
Hey, listen.
We're going to shoot for 3 weeks.
Here's what I've heard, Colby. Tell me if you've heard the same thing. That if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, how's it go, Joey?
The one you hit's going to holler.
The one you hit's going to holler. That's what my man said. So, hey, listen, this one is just as much all up in my grill as any one of them is. So today we are talking about mental and emotional health. Lately we've been talking about this idea of how important it is for us to be completely healthy, for us to be whole people as we're seeking to be holy people. And so in our last episode, episode 74, we talked about physical fitness and physical health. And I'm tired. Are you guys tired? It's been a whole week since that episode came out, and we have been busting our hump to try to make sure that we live out the truth of what it is that we've been talking about, okay? And so today we go into this next part of this. This is our soul health episode. So, Joey, what about the soul health part makes it feel like we're just singling you out, man? Just confess all your sins right here and now.
Well, just like the physical side, I haven't been taking I knew this was coming up, so I've been doing a little bit better because I didn't have time to prepare when the physical one come out. I've had time to prepare for this one. So I'm doing a little bit better on this one, but not as good as I should be doing on making sure that my emotional and mental health is where it's supposed to be.
I understand that, man. And sometimes it feels like the tail is wagging the dog, for sure, on that one. And also, let's just talk about the reality. There's still kind of a stigma whenever you talk about mental and emotional health. And I feel like sometimes it's even worse in the church world. That's like, we're just not supposed to talk about it. And like, you know, don't speak death over yourself like that, brother. And like, I'm not speaking death. I'm just being real. I'm struggling. I need help. And that's what this episode is kind of going to unpack a little bit of, I hope.
In the same guilt that comes with taking time to do the physical things that I needed for physical health, the same guilt comes with, well, it's just, isn't it selfish for me to take this time for just me when there's other people that need help and other things going on and all this that needs to be done? And I feel selfish taking this time.
Yeah.
But also I've been in it now enough that, no, if I don't take this time, I really find the tail wagging the dog. And I'm chasing fires and I'm chasing things and I'm not operating in health. And I'm hurting people more than I'm helping people because I'm not emotionally where I'm at. And so I'm going to explode on you.
Yeah. And that's something, man, that's so important that you can feel that guilt. Another element that I feel also, and maybe you guys can speak into this, is I feel like I'm not a good enough Christian. Because if I was closer to Jesus, then I wouldn't have such emotional fluctuations. And I especially, you know, I did a Bible study one time on the difference between Saul and David. And one of the things that Saul did all the time is he just was emotionally out there. Like one moment, the Spirit of God's on him and he's prophesying and he's doing the right thing. The next minute, he's crazy and he's like consulting mediums and all that. Like, and I feel like I identify so much with that of like you're up and you're down and you're everywhere in between. And I feel like in the back of my mind, people that are close to Jesus don't struggle like that. So therefore, I must be defective, and it's a problem with me. And so, Colby, once again, we're looking to you to solve all the problems of the world.
Wish I could on this one because it's a real deal. You know, I have people that kind of question, you know, whenever we see a pastor has committed suicide or anything like that, I have people question, well, how can a man of God do that? And I'm like, you know, there's men of God in the Bible that dealt with depression and
literally, Moses said, kill me. Yeah. He said, if you're not going to bring all of us into this, take my life. Take me out.
Elijah.
Come on. Elijah.
Elijah. I mean, even Jesus.
Jonah was mad.
Even Jesus, when he was crying out, take this cup from me, he anguished, which is not just it's a deep word that is pretty impactful when you look at that. Not to say Jesus had depression, but right. at that moment he was dealing with something far bigger.
Right.
And so it's just such a difficult thing. I mean, the last couple of weeks here we've had was it Naomi Judd? They came out and said that she had committed suicide. Softball player up at James Madison University, catcher for them, she committed suicide. Mental illness and mental health is such, it's a real thing, and it gets downplayed so much. You just need more prayer, you know? Yeah, we do need to pray more, and I'm not going to downplay that at all, but mental health is a real deal, and we need to get help for it.
Absolutely. And I had a guy who served with us, this has been almost a decade ago, and he said to my face, he said this, he said, I don't believe that any pastor can get burnout. He said this to my face. And this is an older gentleman, and he's been a follower of Jesus longer than I've been alive, and I'm like listening to him, and I'm, you know, being pastoral and smiling and shaking my head and just trying to hear him out, and he said, if you're doing what God's called you to do, you'll have the strength that God's given you, and you won't be burnt out. And so if you're burnt out, that means you're not doing what God called you to do. And I was very gracious, and it wasn't a moment to confront. It was one of the, you know, Proverbs says sometimes you confront a fool and sometimes you don't. And I'm not calling this guy a fool. I'm just saying the principle is sometimes you respond, sometimes you don't. But I realize many pastors face burnout because they're doing what they haven't been called to do. You know why? Because many people in the church aren't doing what God's called them to do, and somebody has to do it. And so, like, how callous can you be to think that there's no such thing as burnout? Like, this burnout is real. Hmm. Like, it is very much real, especially for those of us that are in the pastoral ministry role, man. It is difficult and emotional and mentally draining.
I'm glad you didn't see their name, because in my mind, I saw me showing up at the house, ringing the doorbell when they answered the bell. Will Smith and them right in.
That coffee almost went all over the studio.
My question is, was he a small church pastor?
No, he was not a small church pastor.
Yeah. So I know that a lot of the big church people, they've gotten their starts at the small spot, but sometimes they forget what it's like down here.
This guy was a Sunday school teacher in my church.
Oh, he wasn't even a pastor.
He wasn't even a pastor. No, Sunday school teacher in my church.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. One of the guys that was
Walk an inch in my shoes before you tell me what I can and cannot.
This guy was one of my biggest supporters, but also one of the biggest reasons that I had to pray. Like, and just a love Jesus, great guy, but also just clueless as to what a real pastor faces. And maybe you have a theological bent that you agree, and you're like, man, there's no such thing as real burnout. I just think that you can look at the Bible. We cited a couple of people from the Bible earlier today that can prove that burnout is kind of a real thing. You can look at personal experience and see, like, and we would never say personal experience is more important than the scriptures, but what we would do is we would say that personal experience that does echo what we see in the scriptures, those two things are pretty powerful indicators that is a real thing. And so those of you that are out there listening, and you're possibly struggling with something, or maybe you have struggled with something, we want you to know it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay. We want you to work on yourself. We want you to get the help that you need. We want you to take some deep breaths and step away and get healthy in this place and in this way.
And if church people acted like Christ, this wouldn't be as big of an issue. But when church people think that they can hurt the pastor, talk about the pastor, run him down, and he's just supposed to take it and be okay with it, and it's not supposed to bother him, and he's just supposed to go for it, because he's supposed to be the spiritual person. But if you correct them, oh, they fall to pieces, and just, oh, I can't believe he did that. Okay, you can. There's some personal feelings coming out
and
here.
So God, we pray for Joey right now.
Hey, you could sense that coming out right there. But it's the truth that a small church leader has so much on their plate to take care of that. You know, we've talked about it before, how many hats we wear, and if people would just step up, it would relieve the burden. But I would go even a step further than just stepping up, checking in. checking in on your pastor and saying, hey, and so I've got people in my church that they reach out to me, a couple of them, they reach out to me from time to time to ask me how I'm doing. But there's pastors out there that I know that they never get the call from somebody to say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah. And check in an appropriate way.
Yeah.
A guy recently came up to me, well, a friend of mine, a friend of mine, and said, God sent me here to be your accountability partner. Well, that's really cool because God hadn't told me about that. Well, that's awesome. Can I be your accountability partner? Can I hold you accountable for some stuff there, pal? And so there's a reasonable way to check in with other people. But somebody prayed for my wife and I years ago. We had to go back to do a funeral in our home state. And one of our church members prayed for us. And at that moment, like, I just started crying when he was praying for me. Now, at this point, I had been a senior pastor for about 8 years in my journey at this point. And the guy prayed for me. And I realized that in 8 years, I could count on one hand the times when people actually prayed for me in the building or out loud and didn't just hit me with the, well, I'm praying for you, because that sometimes is a lie unintentionally. But it's like, man, this is like the third or fourth time somebody's actually prayed for me. And like, dude, it's tough. It is very tough. It's just, and I'm not saying that we need to hear somebody pray for us. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is it makes a big difference whenever you say, hey, let me pull you to the side and pray for you. Like, I love and I care for you, and I'm going to pray, not God's judgment on you and put the blood over the doorpost, but I'm going to pray for you and God's goodness in your life.
Is it just me, or does people check on y'all like this? Pastor, you've been seeming to be doing some dumb things. Are you okay?
No, they know that's just who I am.
Pastor, them sermons have been, are you okay? Because them sermons ain't been up to what they should be.
I don't get that kind. I get a how are you. And you can tell when it's a sincere person that's asking how are you, and the person that is just trying to get information. Yeah, just wanted to see what I can use against you later, you know. So I've got that. They don't come and ask me, hey, you seem to be yelling at us a lot. So, yeah, every Sunday, 45 minutes, I yell at you.
It's in my job description. Come on, man.
If you wouldn't give me so much to yell about, I wouldn't spend so much time yelling about it.
There we go.
See,
I told them a couple Sundays ago, man, I feel like I just stand up here for 45 minutes and yell at y'all. So, but it's so important to have those people in your church that do pray for you, pray for you with you.
Yeah.
That's important to have. And
don't be scared to ask for it.
Yeah.
Don't be scared to say, hey, I need some prayer. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to, it's like Colby says, and I'm still slowly learning this, that no is a complete sentence. You also don't have to give people a reason why you need prayer. You don't have to. Sometimes I would feel like I would have to give people a reason why I said no to them. Well, I can't be there because of this, 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 and this. But just saying no is a complete sentence. Likewise, just saying, hey, guys, we've got some things happening. We'd love for you to pray for us if you wouldn't mind. That's a two complete sentences.
Even if you don't have anything happening, something is going to try to disrupt. Just pray for the pastor. Yeah. Yeah. It wouldn't be appropriate to set up a pastoral prayer team that prays for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I always feel guilty to do that. I feel guilty going and saying, hey, do you mind, like, setting up? I feel it's like pastor's appreciation. Like, we don't push pastor's appreciation at our church at all. And I'm like, I'm angry over pastor's appreciation. So it's like, I'm not going to go and say, hey, guys, you know it's October. You know what that means? I think it's October's pastor's appreciation. Anyway, like, and I feel that same kind of guilt when I'm like, I need to build a team of people that can regularly be praying with and for me, but I feel guilty.
But you don't leave magazines with things circled when pastor appreciation starts coming around. And
it's like hints, a long and Christmas
I was, oh, yeah, I always loved it. I would wanted to take this trip. I've never been able to, but I've always wanted to.
I tell them all the time I feel appreciated on payday. I don't need a month. I have always felt appreciated on payday.
So let me ask you all a question. Why is mental health and emotional health important for the small church pastor?
I will tell you from my perspective, the most mentally draining thing I've ever done in my life is be a pastor of a small church. My brain, unless I force it to, it never stops thinking. And when I say force it to, I mean like I have to intentionally be mindful, take deep breaths, tell myself I'm not thinking about church right now. I'm fully present with my kids or whatever. And it's mentally draining. And it is a constant pull. There's no off season. There's always something happening. And that's just when things are going good. not to mention the stress of trying to grow the ministry, trying to develop people, and then there's spiritual attacks that come into it. And then I don't have this, but you guys do, because you have friends like me that are also mentally challenging and taxing on you. So it's just important.
I heard mentally challenged. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, yeah. So it's also important. It's so critically important that we're making sure that we are healthy, because if we're not mentally and emotionally healthy, we're going to burn that thing down, man. We're going to Thelma and Louise that thing before you know it.
And that's so important, because that's how I feel myself sometimes. I can feel when I'm not doing what I need to maintain that emotional health. I know where I'm going with it. I'm going to explode on somebody.
Yeah. I have very rarely have I been overly emotional and in a mentally challenged place and responded the way Jesus would have me respond. Usually whenever I blow up, or as you said, explode, I honestly can't think of one time when I've responded that way that's been a way that Jesus would be honored.
Have you ever been in the store and saw that person explode on that cashier and you're going, they didn't deserve that?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't probably yell at what they wanted to yell at and needed to yell at.
Why are you pointing at me, bro?
But
get that blade going.
I was pointing at Brian, not intentionally, but I was pointing at him. And they explode on that person, because they really can't fuss at what they need to fuss at, what's really bothering them. And so if I don't deal with my emotions, I'm going to explode on somebody who didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
But just happened to be there and
right,
do something that sparked it, because I'm not dealing with the real issue.
And it floods into all the other aspects of our lives.
No. Don't you even go there.
Never mind.
No, okay, go there. I want to hear it now.
So we talked last week about the whole person and the physical fitness being part of that whole person, our emotional, mental fitness being part of that whole person. But when I'm not in a good mental space, it floods into more than just the ministry. I'm not emotionally and mentally drained at church. I'm emotionally and mentally drained at home, whatever I'm doing, no matter where it is, it all kind of floods into other areas of our lives, and it will impact other relationships. You can have those times. I know when I'm there, Joey, you said that you chase fires. I start fires. I'll burn the place down. And so it's one of those things where I know I'm getting there and I need to do something, because I start getting very negative about things, about everything. And no matter what somebody says to me, immediately I'm off. I'm angry about it. I'm working on my resignation letter. You know, there's just so many parts that play in there. So it's important to have the safeguards in place to be able to get rid of all of that stuff constructively.
Yeah. I do the same thing, and I'm at a different stage of life than you guys are, but you were here not too long ago. I've got little kids, and I find that when I'm emotionally or mentally drained or tired or exhausted, I don't always take it out on them, but it causes me to respond negatively. So instead of positive, I'm griping and I'm complaining. And I've caught myself a couple times being negative about church situations. No, not even people, just negative about, hey, man, we've got to turn this thing around because we're taking a pay cut and all of that. And then I heard my 9-year-old say the other day, we should start planting vegetables because we've got I planted some jalapenos and tomatoes. And he said, we should start planting some more. That way, whenever we don't have money, we can have food. My 9-year-old said that. And I'm going, hold up, wait a second. He's heard me griping and complaining because of a negative situation. And now part of his 9-year-old brain is going, Dad's not going to be able to have money and we're not going to be able to eat, so we should plant more vegetables. And when you ask why is it important that we handle it this way, well, those are some of the reasons why it's important we handle it this way. Because I don't want my kid to grow up thinking church has become a mental burden or an emotional burden on Dad. Therefore, whenever I grow up and have my own family, I'm not doing that. I'm not taking them to church. There's so many different reasons why this matters. And I think the main one is that so we can be healthy, because It bleeds, as Colby says, into every area of our lives.
Yeah, I'm not talking to Colby right now. Matter of fact, if I wasn't so out of shape, I'd invite him to the parking lot. But right now, I'd just be one of his CrossFit workouts. So I don't want to be known as the guy that was his CrossFit workout. Yeah.
Man, I drove by that
church. I just flipped him across the parking lot the whole time. Got my workout in. Yeah.
I don't know what in the world was happening, but that one dude sure was beating the crap out of that other guy. That significantly older guy was getting his butt handed to him.
But I know that when I'm not emotionally and mentally healthy, I'm creating toxic environments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So what do we do? How do you handle it? Joey, what do you do to handle your mental and emotional health?
Well, usually my wife finds me crying in the corner of the shower and all the hot water's done run out because I've been there so long. I'm in the fetal position. I'm rocking back and forth. I'm a pretty girl. And she had to cut the water off and get me out of the shower. And so what do y'all do?
The same.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good.
So that's normal. Good. Okay. Yeah. No, here, I will say this. I don't know if you find solace in the fact that you're doing something I would be doing or not. That may prove that it's even worse than it was. Yeah. I know that's not what you do. Come on, man. What do?
We talked about going to the Lord in prayer, but it's not praying harder for the situations. It's for me coming out and getting real with my emotions. This is what I'm feeling, Lord. Lord, I'm hating this person right now. This situation.
He's looking at me again, Colby.
He just
grit his teeth whenever he said that too.
Well, I wasn't thinking about you, but I hate what's going on. I'm mad and I'm honest about the emotions that I'm having. I don't spiritualize it. I don't sanctify it. I get real with it. And then I let God speak to me in those emotions. And help me process them in a time of prayer.
That's good, man. I think it's super key that we identify. Even if we're misidentifying it, we're willing to say, this is how I'm feeling. And our feeling may be a fruit of a deeper root.
Yeah.
But it's important. We can't, I say this all the time, you can't heal cancer by ignoring cancer in the body. You can't just, I don't have that. Like, and you know, Joey, you and I, from a Pentecostal perspective, we've been told forever, you can't speak death over that situation. Being truthful is not speaking death over a situation. Like saying, I have legitimate hatred towards this person. Like, you have to confess that you're a sinner before Jesus can save you.
And
right?
And a lot of times as I'm having that conversation, he begins to deal with that and unpack that, and it gets around, and I get to the root.
Here's why you're responding to this person this way.
Is it really this?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah, and so conversations with God are definitely, definitely key. Colby, do you have anything that you would like to just help regale us with?
I get away from it.
Oh.
I'll go away. And going away for me is going home. I live 35 minutes away from the church. So, and there's a big body of water, so you have to go through a tunnel to get to my house. And so it's not just easily accessible for everybody, because there's people that have lived here their whole lives and don't like going through tunnels. So anyway, but I'll get away from it, and I'll stay away for a couple of days to try to just re-energize myself. I'll do things that I enjoy doing. The hobbies, we've talked about hobbies before. I smoke. I'm a smoker. I smoke mostly briskets and pork butts and ribs and stuff like that. I do
smoke ribs. Great pork shoulder. Man to man can smoke a pork shoulder.
I do the things that I enjoy doing. He just wants some more. He just wants me to smoke
another one for that him. Whatever event it was you had here that Sunday when you had all the grills out there at the back and you smoked them, that one. I think it was in your ugly drum smoker. I think is what it was in.
4th of July.
I want that like now. That was some of the best eating I've had.
I do the things that I enjoy doing, and I get away from the area that causes me the most disdain. You know, it's something that really just wears me down. I try to get away from it.
Yeah.
And I don't have to stay away from it for a long time. Just, a couple hours, couple days, something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be away from it forever. I can roll back into it with a clearer mind. And there's a lot of conversations with God out there while I'm, you know, right. working in my pit, you know, doing that type of stuff. But just getting away from the situation and really just letting it kind of wear itself down.
You know, I want to speak to you and tell you why that's not going to work. Okay?
Okay.
For the pastor or the leader that's me that's listening to this, we want to deal with it right now. And I can't take any time away. I've got to deal with this right now. What are you going to say to me?
Go away.
But it's got to happen. If I don't deal with it right now, it's going to be worse. And I got to deal with it right now.
But it probably won't be. I mean, we always do. We go to, and I don't like using the words never and always, but we always go to the negative. Because that's just how we're wired. We go to the negative. But what if we step away and it handles itself?
Yeah.
Now, if there's a person that we need to deal with, then we need to deal with that. But if it's just the mental feeling that we have, it's just the emotional feeling that we have, then we need to step away and find out if it's legit, if it's real. Because if you step away, you take a week vacation or, you go away on a retreat, you do something like that, you go away, then you come back and those feelings are still there, you've got something more serious that needs to be worked out with a professional more than likely.
Yeah.
But if you can step away from it and let things clear, let your mind clear, let the situation clear, and you come back into it and you're like, okay, we're good. Let's move.
I love that.
And I would venture to say never have handled situations right in the heat of the moment versus stepping away, allowing God to speak to me, allowing me to cool down, and then going back and dealing with it, not ignoring it, not letting it go away, not just pretending it's not there. Come back and deal with it, but deal with it when I've got those emotions out of them away.
Yeah, so how would you suggest that a guy like – you guys know me. I'm the ready, fire, aim personality. And sometimes it's like I didn't mean to say it right then, but it just – something came over me. What would you say – to me, to be able to really step back and reframe how do I capture that in that moment?
You got to step out of the moment. You can't stay in the moment.
So how would you practically step out of the moment? Would you like say that it's happening on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning? How would you counsel me to be like, hey, bro, in just a second, will you just stand over there and think about all the ways that I'm going to knock you in the nose when I get back? What would you counsel me then?
You might could use this. Listen, we need to deal with this, but this morning is about the lost, not what we got going on here.
Yeah,
so let's come back to this where we can concentrate on the lost and be about God's business this morning.
So
not that this is not God's business, but people in the building that need Jesus.
Okay.
So let's come back to
this.
That's
good. That's good. So have a preloaded response that will push it back to, hey, I want to get back to this, but right now is not the time for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a time to keep the main thing the main thing. And that Sunday morning, the main thing is not our feelings and emotions. It's Jesus, and it's getting Jesus to the people. So that's when but sometimes you're mentally beat. You are emotionally just wore out. And that Sunday morning is very difficult. And
people who don't do what we do don't understand how stressful Sunday is.
Right, right.
I feel like on Sunday morning, I have been more tired leaving a Sunday service than I have running a half marathon.
Yeah, I'm whooped on Sundays. I really am. Of course, I'm mobile. I move all over the place on Sundays.
But you got to get a chair like me, man. Sit down.
It didn't work. I have to be a moving target. So those eggs and tomatoes come flying. I need to be moving. So
you look like the Matrix up there. Just.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's if you're already moving, it's easier to get. It's going from a dead stop to a move.
Yeah,
that's something that I've always struggled with when it comes to mental and emotional health. Is I want to deal with it right now.
Yeah,
and I've just learned that if I can step away, there's something about that space. Not always makes it better, but I feel like it makes it better than if I had just responded in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so distance definitely helps.
And you also need, like I need you guys. You know, we do Marco Polo, which is the video chatting back and forth with each other.
And somebody tried to drag me about that the other day. Said, does anybody even use Marco Polo anymore?
We do, so shut up.
Yeah, yeah, we do. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Kick rocks.
So you know, but
I'm distancing myself from you because I'm emotionally about to smack you.
But, you know, when we have, and we've done this on Sundays, where we have sent each other a message, and it is before service, and we've asked the others, hey, pray for me. I got a struggle going on right now. Or after service, hey, I'm going to resign. You know, and so
I'm just waiting on the during service, Marco Polo.
having you guys, like knowing that I can reach out to you guys in that moment, is important. And there's a lot of pastors out there that I know that they're lone rangers because I don't know if it's a shame that they have that they are, you know, they're thinking, well, I'm a pastor. I'm not supposed to have these feelings. I'm not supposed to think this way. Well, you know what? You are going to have those feelings and you are going to think that way. So it's important to have that person that you can, whether it's a text message, it's Marco Polo, it's something like that. Maybe even it's a quick phone call. If you've got those times, you know, cause I come into the building around 9:30 and my service doesn't start till 10:30. Y'all don't start till 10:30. So I know I could, if your phone rings and it has Colby across the caller ID, you know, it's something severe and you need to answer. But if it's at like 10:35,
just real quick, you're not saved in my phone as Colby. I can't tell you what you're saved in my phone as on the air right now because people will hear it. But
well, how many times have we contacted each other and helped us refocus for that moment? Yeah. Remember what the focus is. I know that person was supposed to be there this morning. I know that person had a job, and he's calling out at the last minute.
On the Super Bowl Sunday.
On the big thing. Key focus. We'll deal with that later. Key focused on there's lost souls coming this morning that you need to minister.
Here's something you guys do great with for me, and I hope that I can do that for you as well, is you have a great balance of having empathy for me in the moment and then also reminding me of here's the bigger picture. And you speak my language so well that I don't need big picture first and then empathy, that I need, dude, that sucks and I'm so sorry and I'm going to punch that guy if I see him.
Yeah.
But remember why you're there.
Yeah.
And usually people come at you with well, you just need to remember what the big picture is. That don't speak to my, what that does is make me put you on that same list that they're on. And you guys have done really great with that to help me keep, and not just on a Sunday morning. There have been times before a podcast where, you know, we meet and talk an hour before we hit record just to catch up, or we talk after the podcast unless Joey's running away because he's always got more people he's going to go do stuff for. Like, you've talked me off of a ledge so many times, and I'm grateful for that. Now, I do want to mention this as well. We've talked about a lot of things that are helpful for mental and emotional health and things that of that nature. Here's something else that I think is really key. And that is, if you need professional help, get professional help.
Nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. Like, if your car's broken down, take it to a mechanic, right? If you've got HVAC issues, call somebody who knows how to work on your heating and air system. If you've got plumbing issues, call a plumber. And if you need counseling, or if you need someone to help you work through some mental things, go to a counselor, go to a psychiatrist. It's not bad if you have to take some medication. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean you don't have faith. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean Jesus isn't alive. Mental health medication is just as helpful as high blood pressure medication. Like, go and get seen. And I want to say this, if you are really, really struggling, if you're one of those people that you're like, man, this is so difficult and I don't know if I can handle this right here, I would just encourage you to call the suicide hotline number. If you are definitely struggling and you don't feel like this is a hot spot for you right now, you can call 1-800-273-8255. Again, that's 1-800-273-8255. And you can speak with someone today that can help talk you through what you're going through and maybe even point you into some next directions. Because here's what we know. You may be struggling with something serious right now, but this is not the end of the road for you. Okay, can I speak God's word over you and over all of us? Philippians chapter 1 says that God, who started a good work, he began a good work, is faithful to see it through to completion. And God started a good work in you. That's what Paul the Apostle was saying to the Philippians there in Philippians 1. God started a work in them, and God was faithful to see it through. And God is faithful to see that work in your life through. It may be ugly. There may be some bumps along the way. But remember, when Paul wrote this, he's in a Roman prison. So he's not having the best of times either, but he still can hold on to the fact that God began it and God will see it through. So we love you, man. Get after this. Don't suffer in silence and don't suffer alone.
So same advice we give with the physical health. If you haven't started, start somewhere. Do something. Make a move. We've give you some things to think about. Maybe you just need to have a real conversation with God. Not God praying God change the situation, but you praying about the emotions that you're feeling. You get real with them. You name them. You call them out. You allow God to speak to them and bring that around, and you have a real conversation with what's going on inside of you. You might need to have a real conversation with a friend that can empathize with you, but then lovingly guide you and give you a better perspective of what's going on. You might need to get your habit, get out of the situation, get away, get into that thing, take your day off, use your day off to get out of it. Now Kobe does habits that he likes doing. I do hobbies that gives me an outlet for my anger. So I golf so I can just kill that ball, and then I can yell because it went in the woods. It's never not went in the woods, but I can yell because it went in the woods and get that emotion out of me. And if it's weighing on you, please get professional help. We need you in the ministry.
Absolutely.
Don't let it destroy your ministry. You have value. You are needed in this work that we're doing. We three can't do it by ourselves. We need you to be part of what God is doing in this world. And so get the help that you need so you can continue in that.
Well said. Well said, brother.
And maybe you're out there and you're a pastor and the closest church to you is 40 miles away. You're out in the middle of nowhere. Hit us up on Facebook. Everybody's got Facebook. Hit us up on Facebook and send us a message. Send us a private message. Don't put it on the page and just say, hey, I just need somebody. One of us will reach out. We'll from our own personal account send you a personal message and start that dialogue back and forth. We want to be here for you guys. We don't want to just be three talking heads that
Absolutely.
Are just you know sharing a bunch of information and just leaving it at that. We are in the trenches with you. We
That's
say
right.
it every week. We are truly in the trenches with you, and we want to prove that by being there for you. If you need us, please send us a message, and we will be there for you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, and seriously, I know. You've heard Joey and Colby talk about this, and there's probably that tension of, they don't really mean that. No, we mean it. Like, we are – the reason that we do this podcast is because we are small church pastors, and we know the struggle that small church pastors face. All my ministry, I've been a small church pastor. I've never been a big church pastor. All my ministry, this is what I've dealt with. And same for these other guys. We are freaking here for you, okay? And, like, we love you, and we don't want you to throw in the towel. Now, maybe you do need to take some time off from ministry for a while. That's okay. That's fine. Cool. Hey, no shame in that. We want to help you get better. We want to help you be healthy.
Yeah, there's some hurts that are so deep that it requires us to step away for a season.
Absolutely.
To heal.
And that's not a bad – that doesn't mean you're a bad leader. Doesn't mean you're a failure. That's just – that's what happens.
That's what happens.
That's what happens. And, man – we just care so much about you, and our heart is here to serve you as much as we can.
Now, if you listen to this and you have a technique we haven't mentioned, but you can give us a technique that will help us manage this, to release that pressure, give others some relief. Let us know what that is by going to our Facebook page, type in Small Church Leadership in the search bar, and tell us how. Share with us so that other pastors can benefit from what the secrets that you have learned there and help us do this thing better and have a better emotional health.
And wherever you get your podcast, go out there, give us a 5-star rating, leave us a review. Tell us how awesome Joey has become segueing into that Facebook.
I mean, he just straight up parallel parked that thing, didn't he?
He did.
He just backed
yeah.
right in there. I love it.
He's done that the past couple episodes. From a guy that didn't really know anything about Facebook to just immediately smooth and just flows right into it.
He was giving everybody an IM account from way back in the day, dial-up internet stuff.
So give us a review. The more reviews and the more 5-star ratings we get, the more this podcast will just pop up on people's phones, and they'll be able to get some great information, and hopefully we'll be a blessing.
Hold up, bud. They'll get some information. Let's not put great information in front of it. As long as I'm on the podcast, I'm not sure great is acceptable.
Let's not promise something that we can't. Yeah, so if you can go to my space place and
Hey, if you've listened to this podcast for 30 seconds, you know that we're goobers and we love to laugh and joke and cut up. Oh, you know, that's intentional. I would not still be at Forward Church if it wasn't for the guys in this room right now. I've had some tough times as a pastor at Forward Church. That's what ministry happens. Each one of these guys have had tough times, but you know what? Knowing that we can get in a room together and laugh and joke because I've got a guy, but Joey's got the same guy in his church. And Colby used to have the same guy in his church, but then he left to come to my church. this is part of what Proverbs means when it says that laughter is a healthy medicine. Now, this laughter is not going to fully be all of that, but you just get some people are in your life. Don't be that pastor that doesn't have friends and doesn't have connections and doesn't have somebody that can shoulder the burden with you. And that's one of the things we want to be for you at Small Church Leadership. So
real. You've real. Got to be real with your friends. You cannot be, I'm not Pastor Colby when I'm with you two. I'm Colby. And that's the thing that I like about it is I can be Colby. I can be the real Colby that the church people don't get to see all the time.
That is a man of integrity, still very, a man of much, God. Yeah. It's not like you're being duplicitous. And
right,
you're
yeah.
We're one not, per, no, I mean, yeah. And that's something here's a social experiment for you out there, Small Church Leadership. If in your social media accounts you have pastor in front of your name, you're probably holding on to your position a little bit stronger than you should be. If you introduce yourself as I'm Pastor so-and-so, that why would you introduce yourself that way? Or I'm Prophet so-and-so, or I'm Apostle so-and-so. Why would you introduce yourself that way? Why would that be what drives your identity? Right? Like plumbers don't say I'm Plumber so-and-so when they introduce themselves, right? And here's the reason I bring that stuff up. If you can't be real, people all the time joke about, well, you want me to call you Pastor or Pastor B or what? And I'm like, well, my mom called me Brian. And if it's good enough for Judy, it's good enough for you, right?
Yeah.
And no, I get it. There's a level of respect that people want to have with, I totally get and I totally understand that. But the point that I'm trying to bring out here is if we're so wrapped up in our identity is so wrapped up in what we do, and that's going to cause some mental and emotional issues, man. It's just not good and not healthy. So we want to be a resource and a network for you that you can grow and get some friends and all that stuff. Who knows? Maybe one day we'll be a dating service, too. I don't know.
That went off the rails quick.
Oh, there were no rails to start with, babe. No rails to start with. So, guys, thank you so much for listening with us and hanging out. On the next episode, we're going to finish this three-part mini-series by talking about spiritual health. Now, we've talked about physical health in episode, I think that was 74. Today's episode 75, we've talked about emotional health, and then we're going to end by talking about spiritual health. What are some things that we do regularly to help us grow spiritually? And also, what are some pitfalls and things to look out for in that regard? And then after that, we're going to have a special series where we're going to talk about church security. And so that's something that's really near and dear to all of our hearts, to make sure that the people in our pews are safe. And we've got some good ideas and some good practical principles that you can apply there. So you definitely want to be on the lookout for the next few episodes, wherever you get this podcast from. Same bat channel, same bat time, same whatever, all of those things. So until then, this has been the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are prayerfully and hopefully and doggone it good enough helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name is Brian.
I'm Joey.
And I'm Colby.
And we will see you on the flippity flop. Bye now.